Greetings, this is James Gilliland with As You Wish Talk Radio and on the BBS Network, and we've got a great show. I wanted to cover a few things today before we get started. We've got a major event coming up here October 9th through 11th with the Tashina, and we're going to be doing a self-mastery, like some pretty amazing things. We're going to talk more about it on the show, so if you want to check more about that, go to www.privateinvitationesetti.com. And we'll give that information again at the end of the show. So have your pencil out or pen or whatever else you're using. There's a lot of things going on right now. We're having crazy, crazy events happen here. We just had, I just got through going through sessions, about eight sessions in a row with Jay Setti, you know, doing counseling sessions. Amazing things coming out of that. But they're here at the ranch, and we've got Randy Kramer here. We've got Dr. Emoto is passed over, you know, he's crossed over, and so there's another person coming out, it seems to be taking his place, called Dr. Nemoto, so with an N. So it's very interesting. He's going to be here doing a talk this weekend, which is going to be amazing. So by the time you hear this broadcast, it might be a little too late, but stay tuned. You know, if you go to the privateinvitationesetti.com website, you can stay attuned with all the different things happening here at the ranch. There's a lot of energies coming through, a lot of people getting into their fear and processing, letting go of the old ways, the old world, you know, is coming to a close. A whole new world is coming in and taking its place, and there's some amazing forces behind this new world. You know, as I said before, the benevolent Anunnaki are back, and they're recalling the fallen ones. The Pleiadians, the Orion Council of Light, the Andromedans, the Arcturians, all these groups are all banding together, the Sirians, to assist us, you know, in this shift, in this. So without any further ado, I think bringing on that note, we should bring in Tashina, and she's a wisdom keeper. She's an Arcturian. She's a sun dancer and pipe holder. Her walk has been many years in sacred spaces, learning, teaching, and healing. Mount Shasta, the Dakotas, the Cascades, the White Mountains, the Blue Mountains, all have been her home. She's a history, anthropology, and Spanish teacher. One of her most important beloved jobs is to be a mother and a grandmother. And she has written and performed poetry, songs, and dances for the Native Images at ASU, and is a healer and Azteca dancer, clairvoyant, and telepath. And since birth, she's been trained by and has interacted with star beings, angels, spiritual guides. Her life has been a gift. It's a joy to be here in the world. And she's actively and openly done presentations for numerous national events over the past 4 years. And she's also involved in many events prior to this, both intertribal and collegial works. So I didn't say how the collegial works. I guess I'm collegial. I don't understand. I'm sure how to pronounce that one, but I'll get through it. But anyway, you know, she's been at this Darn Lodge conference here at Esetti Ranch a couple times, and Portal to Ascension and the Paranormal Research Foundation events in Colorado. So without any further ado, I want to welcome Tashina to the show. Tashina, are you with us?
I am here. Awesome. Hi, James. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you on the show. Hey, I'm wondering if you can give us a heads up. I don't know if your Arcturian friends have said too much about this, but it seems to be this month in general, especially towards the end of this month, there's big shifts. I mean, big energy waves coming through. You know, not everybody's handling these shifts too well, the energy shifts. And I've seen a lot of people get, you know, everything from tears to very irritable, you know, sometimes emotional outbursts and anger, and it's getting very intense, especially for couples. I've seen a lot of couples just, you know, yes, they can't shove everything under the rug anymore. It's just all coming up and they're having to deal with it. I'm curious if you've gotten information on the same, you know, types of experiences that people are having.
Oh, absolutely, James. Thanks for bringing all that up. You know, of course, that we've got the event, which is at Event Horizon, that's coming up here on the 27th, with all the energies coming through the galactic core. And as everybody knows, you know, we're going to have the eclipse. and you've got all of that writing on the waves, shall we say, of wave X and what this means. I mean, in a nutshell, because I don't want to expound and bore everybody with this, is your DNA is being recalibrated and we're being given our crystalline body. So, you know, that whole 12-strand DNA everybody's been talking about, it's a done deal. Well, the thing is, when you do that and you're aligning the pineal, the pituitary, and these heart centers, and you're putting everything in balance, you're getting all the garbage out and the light in. And what that light is, are those gamma rays that I've talked about for years, and I think everybody went ho-hum, they fell asleep, you know, because it was a little boring. But now it is the real deal. And even the scientists are knocked for a loop, because there are some tremendous gamma ray emissions that are coming through. And in terms of that, I've done a big presentation. I'm going to do it at eSETI too. Again, dealing with the gamma rays and the materialization, the dematerialization, the invisibility, if you will, how the star nations travel. So when you have these gamma rays that they use and you have all these portals opening, you've got massive groups of higher energy and higher light body star nations that are coming in and they're materializing here. We've had our ground troops, as you know. You know, I'm one of them. Woohoo! Hi, ground troop. Shout out to ground troop. And we've been holding the fort down here, but we needed to have these higher energies, light bodies that are coming in and pure light body and using all these gamma rays that are coming in. And what's happening is these are hitting the planet and people are being recalibrated. All that emotional garbage is coming out, and that's your breakdown. That's your what you're talking about, the turmoil.
Yeah, it's either breakdown or breakthrough, you know, as they say.
Absolutely. And so, you know, we're just, a lot of people right now, you know, they're getting depressed. You know, you need to work through that, you know, just sort of like, you know, going through water, you know, just sort of flow through that and go into the light, go into your spirit body, go into spirit, stay in spirit. And if you need to be with a group of people like yourself and other enlightened ones there at eSETI and other groups around the planet, this is the time. You're not supposed to go it alone. So long story short, for the Arcturians, we've been here for quite a while. We had, as I've mentioned before, we varied in our contingencies. I can't speak for Pleiadians and other groups, of 1 million people. And then we varied and readjusted as we needed to. For those of us that are here now, our marching orders, if you will, are join forces with you and do this thing. So this is pretty powerful. And that's some of what I'm looking forward to doing with you, you know, co-creating with you at eSETI in October, is these portals and the anchoring in of these benevolent star nations' abilities to be able to bring these light ships in and assist in this. I prefer to call it a shift. I don't see it so much as an ascension as a shift. And mm-hmm. And this brings in our parallel worlds. And the fact that this old Earth that we've seen, you know, it's almost like a hologram superimposed on a picture, if you will. And it's sort of shaky. You can almost see it. It's transparent. So one minute you're in the old Earth, another minute you're in the new Earth. And that's a shaky situation for people to balance their energies in as well. So,
yes, definitely between two worlds. And I know there's a lot of people know the old world doesn't work anymore. But they don't know what the new world's going to be. And so they're in between worlds, and a lot of them are trying to carry their fears and their baggage, you know, into the new world, and you can't do that. So you gotta process them in between somewhere.
It's quite a processing, because one minute you're happy, you know, it's almost like being bipolar. I mean, one minute you're happy, the next minute, you know, you're angry, and it's like, just a minute, who is that person, you know, and you feel like there's a stranger inhabiting your body, and then you do and say things, and you go, oh my God, you know, why did I do that?
Yeah. Well, I noticed with my own energies, I've just become the observer, and I've been watching these energies pass through me. And I've been observing other people reacting to these energies. And I think what's interesting, there's some days, like I've gone into town, you know, to get supplies and groceries and things. And I look into the eyes of the people, and a lot of them can't even make eye contact or even say hi or anything. But there's just kind of like, I've seen just pure dread on some of the faces. And I went, oh my God, you know, when I looked at some of the, and I guess they're really going through their dark night of the soul, or they're just really, you know, freaking out on where they're going, who they are, and what's, because their whole world's been turned upside down. But a lot of other people I've seen are just like zombies. It's, they're just going through the moves. You know, there's no real life there. And then I've actually seen some people that are just really taken off with this energy, and they're actually excited and happy about it. You know, so the whole mix is going on, and probably people going up and down on that roller coaster of energy that's coming through.
That is very, very true. And I think that the time is now for people to embrace each other and to join with others that are in this higher life field. And whether they have to go to E-SETI or they have to go to J-SETI or wherever these light centers are, this is the time to group together with fellow light workers. You're not supposed to go through this alone. It's too much to handle by yourself.
I see some people are also having to separate. I mean, unfortunately, that's just the way it is. But there's some that it's probably not their soul journey or their choice to go through this process, whatever you want to call it, the shift, the ascension, the event. Everybody has different names for it. But I know some people are just choosing the downward spiral and choosing to hold on so tightly to the old world. And with couples especially, I've seen a lot of couples just, you know, they have to have that huge, event or whatever. Something has to happen to them before they can break through and let go of the old world. And some people have already done it, and they don't want to hang out and wait around forever, you know. So... But the two energies are just splitting. It's just like, you know, they're just not, whatever they were there to learn or experience, whatever is done, and it's time for them to move on. And but they're still trying to hang on to something that just is basically a lie. It doesn't exist anymore.
You're absolutely right. And I love Laura, by the way, Laura Eisenhower, just to shout out. And she talks very much about the divine feminine and what's going on with that. And that speaks to the situation you just described. We're balancing these masculine, feminine, divine energies in the earth right now, in the cosmos. And a lot of people don't understand what these energies are. So when you talk about couples and you know, we get into the whole description of twin souls, twin flames, soulmate groups, and so on. A lot of the light workers have been working with, you know, groups of soulmates that have just reincarnated as a group over and over and over again. And they're used to working with that energy. But what they aren't used to working with is a whole twin flame or twin soul energy. And that is your soul, your actual soul that has divine feminine masculine. And a lot of people don't understand that sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean that there is a physical body of another male or another female or whatever, that can be embodied, if you will, divinely within yourself. So you are the divine feminine masculine. You have to balance out those energies. And when I say you, I mean collectively we, and a lot of us don't understand how to balance that. And then we have to understand the divine masculine feminine that is in, if you will, Gaia, Mother Earth, and the wisdom that comes from the balance and the unification of the divine masculine and feminine. And it is only when that happens that couples, if they will, can even be a couple. And so that's why you're seeing disintegration of a lot of relationships, because that balance of the divine masculine and feminine is not there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the old patriarchal program is coming to an end, and especially the men that are hanging on to that are not doing too well, and they're totally avoiding, you know, their heart and their emotions and processing whatever. I know there's some men that would rather, you know, go to war and fight, you know, 1,000 armed men than face their own issues, you know. And so basically, but I mean, it's not an option anymore. We have to do that. You know, men need to learn to cry. They need to tap into, you know, that wounded child in there and deal with that, and also let go of this whole social consciousness programming, this whole patriarchal program that's just, it's just done. It's run its course. There's no use for it anymore. It serves no purposeful good. And, you know, we got to get back to balance.
Absolutely. And then that goes to the whole issue here of the shift that is taking place in this new earth, because this balance needs to be us being in connection with the earth and in balance with the earth. If we're not in balance with the earth, we're not in balance with the universe or with the creator source. And that's where some of this is taking place. So understanding that this connection that we have with Gaia, with Sophia, this divine masculine feminine wisdom, that this makes us have to see the animals, the earth, the water, and I've talked about this before, the plants, the food source, that we are all interconnected. So the energy sources that we are using, how we are treating our oceans, our rivers, and our trees, and our forests, and our sacred sites, we can no longer indiscriminately ignore Mother Earth. We cannot ignore climate change. We cannot ignore the situation with the pollution of the waters and the, you know, destruction of the mountains and forests, and then turn around and wonder why we are ill at ease. We have these bodies, these vehicles, and they are aligned and in tune with this earth. So when we have the star nations coming in here and people say, don't worship them as gods, absolutely don't worship them as gods. We need to worship the fact that we are all part of this divine creator source. And what the star nations are doing is helping to bring this alignment of self, earth, cosmic consciousness, if you will, and universal oneness in alignment. This has to happen. We're not separate from, we are part of.
Exactly. I've seen over and over, you know, we had something interesting I wanted to share with you. We had, it's okay to talk about this part of it. I can't talk about the other details of it, but we just, you know, we do counseling work here in the transpersonal release sessions. And one of them, actually just today, you know, with the Jay City group, one of the women, her guide was Era. And I said, that sounds familiar. Wait a second. I said, Era is a planet in the Pleiades. It's yes. a populated planet in the Pleiades. And they said, yes. And I said, so are you, and so I asked this being, are you like Sophia Gaia? And she said, yes, I'm the Pleiadian counterpart, you might say, of that planet, you know, like Sophia Gaia would be to us. And I went, wow, you know, this is powerful energy. And so we finished the session and everything. And then so after that, she came in and they said it was very important for Era and Sophia Gaia to merge. And when that happens, that divine feminine Pleiadian energy, you know, they talk about in the Bible, the sweet energies of the Pleiades is actually going to merge with Sophia Gaia and really help bring about these changes and hopefully a more loving, you know, peaceful way.
Absolutely. And that is so true. It is important to balance out this loving, sweet energy and incorporate it into our everyday lifestyle. And you'd mentioned at one point the changes in our outer world that are very real in terms of, you know, how our societies are structured. And that is what is being spoken to at this time. We can no longer have the social structures that have existed. And that is some of the fear that people are experiencing as we readapt our social structures and so-called institutions, how we treat people, how we feed people, how we house people, how we heal people. And these are the shifts. And this is what is scaring everyone, because what does that mean? It means it's not business as usual anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to go through that process here with the land, you know, and with, you know, they, one of the psychics, his name's Roy over there in Hawaii, but he was telling me, go, everybody wants the vortex, everybody wants the ranch, and or the Stargate is what he said, you know, and I said, I go, really? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, that's your problem. He said, the insects want it, the reptiles want it, the grays want it, you know, but he said, it's really there. It's, you know, you're anchoring in the Pleiadian energy and the Orion Council of Light and Andromeda energy. You're the star, you know, the benevolent star nations. And he said, that's where most of my problems are coming from. And there's times where I almost lost the ranch, you know, and I had to get into that state of mind, like where I have to just totally let go of all of attachment and just allow, you know, the universe to work through me and do whatever needs to happen. And I noticed that here it's like boot camp, because, you know, one minute you have this belief system, the next minute it's totally shattered. The next minute a new one comes in, you know, the next minute another one comes in, you know, different groups are showing up, you know, like the Syrians show up and the lion beings show up, and all of a sudden you realize, you know, there's not just masters, there's you know, benevolent star nations and extremely spiritually and technologically advanced beings. And then you find out some of them are felines and some of them are and so here your world is constantly changing. You just have to be open to that. You know, you can't hang on to the past or these old constructs. And I think this is like the macrocosm, you know, or the microcosm of the macrocosm, is that it's happening here and then it's going to be going out to the rest of the world.
Absolutely. You live in a very sacred area, James, mm-hmm. and you've been the guardian of it and co-creator for many years, and it's very blessed, that area where you are, and you know the history of it. It's very ancient history. And so it is a portal for benevolent star nations. You do have the felines, and they are to be extremely honored. A lot of people have not understood who they are, and they have their own system. They've been on this planet just forever, and they are the guardians here, mm-hmm. and they are very loving, and they sort of anchor in along with the Pleiadians, that loving, sweet, beautiful energy. And then you have your Syrian warriors of light, and mm-hmm. so you have your, you know, you have your protectors in there, and you have your wisdom that is coming in. But in order to have all of this happening, everybody has to be unified in their correct energy space and position, and they have to be in balance. So you have an awareness layer, it's sort of like layer upon layer upon layer, and with each new awareness of the next layer, people go, oh, there are the Pleiadians, oh my gosh, there's the felines, oh my gosh, there's the Orions, the Andromedans, the Arcturians. The reality is they've all been there, but it was only as people were ready to connect with them that they became aware that they were there. They were never not there.
Oh, yeah. I think about my progression when I first opened up and I had my near-death experience and drowning or crossed over and went into the plane of bliss. When I came back, you know, I was having all these experiences and all these beings were coming to me. And, you know, I still had some religious programs. So, I said, I don't want to talk to anybody except for Jesus. You guys are all spooks, you know. I don't know who you are, you know. And so it took me a while, after having that experience, to relax my belief system and realize that, you know, it's not just Jesus, it's not just Buddha, it's not just, you know, Krishna, that there's a whole multiverse of beings out there, and, you know, and most of them in service to the Creator. And it's, the picture is just so big. And it was just a constant learning experience, because it was like one after the other. I had to let go of this box and that box and this box, and I had to study all the different nations here on the earth, you know, like the star nations belief systems, and then the a lot of the Native American ways, and then I had to study the Hindu ways, and you know all the different paths. And so, you know, they wanted me to study each culture and their paths and their belief systems. But it seems like in a way that you had from a very early age, you already had that support system. You already had that belief system, which allowed that to happen.
Well, you're right, and I'm going to talk to that as well as to what you just addressed, that it is going from level to level and sometimes spiraling in around and back and examining, re-examining what our belief systems are. And we're at a point right now, many of us that have not had the decades and the lifetimes to evolve to such a high soul level as where you're at, that we're needing to assist people in the healing process, the clearing process. And this is where, you know, calling all angels, if you will, calling all light workers, calling all healers, come and assist people. There are many that are ready to take this next leap. They just need some help. And I myself am a frequency healer, and I do much healing, as do you, James, and many others out there, to assist people in this healing the brokenness, healing the child within, you know, cradling and loving that child and allowing it to blossom into the full, beautiful soul that it is. And for myself, I was born off planet, just briefly, because I don't want to make this deeply about myself now, but I was born off planet and I was put into an Earth family, and I was guarded over by the Arcturians. I was very naive. I ended up living many years right where you are, James, back in Washington, Oregon. It's my old stomping ground, with the Native American tribes, and as well as living in Mount Shasta for a while, having to get my earth legs, if you will. And it was very challenging for me, and I could not have done it without the holy people, which encompass all races and nations, to assist me to keep this gold overlay of this earth body that encloses this divine essence soul that we call from Creator Source, and learning how to utilize my energies here on this planet without, for example, blowing up the computer. and it has been very interesting. And, you know, in my early years, and if it had not been for beautiful people like, you know, Chief Colvin Light Eagle, that yourself, James, and other high souls, as well as the Native American people that cradled me for so many decades and helped me, I would not have been talking to you now or helping people, because I was very self-conscious of how people would perceive an off planet. How do you walk in an earth body and you're levitating? How do you walk in an earth body and you're healing cancer? How do you walk in an earth body and things are disappearing? How do you walk in an earth body and the computers are blowing up and there goes that next cell phone? And so for off planet, for myself, it was with co-creating and working in cooperation with on planet like yourself that I am even able to do this. So I don't think it's an either or. I don't think anyone's better than anyone else. And whether it's off planet or on planet, we need to do this thing together. But we need to understand that when you encompass and encounter off-planet beings, whether it's felines, the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, we do bring in this energy. And so there has to be a sacredness about our interactions. It must be on a spiritual level. It cannot be any other way. The energy that we carry and the energy that you now carry with the recalibration of your DNA and everything that's happening with the event horizon on Sunday, and that has been coming up this point with WaveX, et cetera, here in September, you're going to find yourself doing frequency healings, you're going to find yourself materializing and dematerializing, and you're going to find yourself doing many of the things that I have been hiding from and running from for many years. And I would tell people, don't go into fear. Hold your light body. Hold your masculine, feminine. Hold on to that divine Sophia Gaia. Be ready for the ride of your life. It's a coming.
I agree. Yeah, it's quite interesting how, you mean, no matter how hard we try, we can't avoid this. And some people are trying, very hard to avoid this whole situation. And, and what's sad, too, is a lot of the light workers have been filled with so much crap, and don't even realize that a lot of their belief systems were actually created, in think tanks and things like that. But until we get back to just being authentic, and really tapping in and realizing, there is a dark side. There are things going on out there that aren't appropriate, that aren't aligned with universal law. And also at the same time, it's probably time to start pointing that out to our friends and family and things that are operating out of universal law. And I just see that over and over, that people just use aphorisms and things like that, and just cliches, over things, but they're not authentic, and I just go, and I go, you have to get down to base. You just can't put this cliche over it. Well, it's all good. Everything is love. And, that doesn't work. You got to deal with it. You got to go in there and say, hey, that was bullshit. That
Absolutely.
Wasn't cool. That was not, there was nothing loving about that, and that was harmful to the earth, and it's time for us to go back and being authentic and just saying, look, we're not, that doesn't work for me, and I'm not going to participate in it or be involved in any way whatsoever.
Well, absolutely. And this is where the, is the saying, the rubber hits the road. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Did I say that right? Thank you. And this is where we're going to show who we really are as light workers. Talk is cheap. Talk is absolutely cheap. And it's important to get the message out there, but once you've got the message out, the next step is, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
So are we willing to step up and help the less fortunate? We talk about people that are hungry. Are we willing to assist in food programs? We talk about, the oil that's being taken out of these pipelines from Alaska. Well, I saw where the people up in Washington, they tried to stop the pipeline, and they were floating over the bridge and those, amazing type of floating things. So am I saying civil disobedience? We're advocating that? No. I'm saying that there are positive things that people can do. Are we willing to actually assist in putting forth bills, going to Washington or whatever it takes, or participating in peaceful, demonstrations or whatever? We have those rights in this country to let people know, this is wrong. No, you cannot. For example, we have Oak Flats here, which is a sacred area in Arizona. And, a bill has been introduced into Congress that's on Apache land, Oak Flats, to prevent an Australian mining company from coming in. It was a back deal done with some congressmen and tearing that down and then destroying the water and the land and everything. So that is an example of a peaceful way, but a real way that this can be done. So, we're just going to have to step up to the plate and do these types of things. No more talk.
I agree. Yeah, we just can't pull that one anymore. It's I'm seeing over and over again that, one thing, and it's just my feeling about it. I don't know if the congressman or any of this stuff is going to work, because those guys are just so bought and sold. And, like the chemtrails, they brought all the chemtrail issues to all the different congressmen, and they gave them the videos and the movies and said, what are you going to do about it? And they come back to him and just say, well, these are just contrails. This is all nonsense, you know. And so, you know, no matter how much evidence, you try to get these guys to change and look at what's going on, you know, they're just refusing to take a look at it. So, I don't know. I think there might have to be something just more like, I don't want to say civil disobedience, but just enough people are going to have to gather to which you have masses over there banging on their door, you know, and just saying, look, you've represented us. This is what we want. If you don't do it, you know, you're out. And period, end of story, you know. So
absolutely.
It's going to have to be a little more aggressive, because I think just writing letters and
oh, no.
They don't even read them, you know. They just throw them in the can.
Well, I think that was, you know, one of the things that they did at Oak Flats, and people set up camps and did their stands, and they went to Washington, they went in the offices, they went into New York City. And so what this is exactly what you said, and I'm just using that as one example because it's only an hour away from, you know, Metro Phoenix here. And the reality is that, you know, people are coming out of their caves and their homes and their bedrooms, and they are setting up camp. They are literally setting up camp. They are going in places, and they are actively speaking up. And this is what has to be done.
You know, I kind of was all for that Bundy Ranch episode. Everybody goes, oh, the militia showed up and they were armed and they're all primitive and everything else. And I said, well, you know, at least somebody made a stand, you know. And you know, that's what they're trained to do, you know. So let them do it. Let them follow out their belief system. They are operating, you know, in alignment with the Constitution and things like that. So, you know, all for it. But, you know, hopefully this will all be, you know, an evolutionary process, not so much a revolutionary process. But I know it's going to have to happen one way or the other. It's not sustainable. We can't go on business as usual. And, you know, we could actually bring in the Star Nations to totally clean this planet up and reset it and get it back on track again. And they're willing to do that, but not if we don't play our part. You know, we have to do our part as well.
And the Star Nations are here, and there are many portals being opened. I know that, for example, just right here in Arizona, we've opened a lot of portals. We've put in a lot of galactic areas, and people are seeing, you know, they're seeing these flashes of light coming in, and I've seen reports of that, and I've seen them here in my very own home, and I know a lot of people have. So this is some of what's coming in. It is happening.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've seen them up there in the ranch, James, the large flashes of light. But I have friends that have them just right in their house, in their kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're all over the sky.
And we're getting these waves. You can see these big energy bands moving through the sky. You know, we see those here a lot. And just recently we had a lot of big ships coming over, and one powered up just the other night. Put on quite a show. Actually, it was last night. Put on quite a show. And the mountain lit up, you know, and the doors are opening on the mountain, and ships are coming out and moving all over the mountain. So it's getting, you know, very active here right now. And something big is brewing. You can really feel it.
Yes, you can. And yeah. I know, for example, I was just driving down the street 2 days ago, and it was broad daylight, and I looked up because there was big, bright flashes of light just above my car, and other people saw them too, and there were some cars that pulled over, and it's like an opening in the sky. I don't know how else to describe it. Have you seen that? The big opening.
No, I saw something on the mountain too yesterday. It was interesting, and I'll see big flashes all over the mountain. And the other people aren't seeing it, and so I don't really say anything. But it's getting harder and harder for me to differentiate between, you know, what was a flash in this dimension and what was on the next dimension, because the veils are getting very thin. And I know some of the people could see the flashes, and some of the people couldn't, you know, but the people that were sensitive and were a little more awake were seeing the flashes, and the other ones couldn't see them at all.
That's true. as these flashes come in to speak to that, and I want to address that issue a little bit when I have the opportunity and the honor to visit with you at East Study, is materializations and dematerializations of people and objects. And so you're going to find, just to put this in very simple language, people and objects almost disappearing in front of your eyes.
Yeah, we've had that happen here in the self-mastery classes where you can actually see people sitting in their chair, and you, all of a sudden you see right through them, and you see the chair behind them.
And so you have to get to that level, that point. And the people that are seeing these light flashes and these openings, it's going to be where, I'm not saying huge groups of people are going to disappear, but let's just say they will be able to appear and reappear.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And you know, I've seen too, is that a lot of times when you're doing that, you're not even aware you're doing it. You might be invisible to everybody else, but you can see everybody else really clearly because the high dimensions can see down through the lower dimensions. It's harder to see up, you know, see up into the other dimensions. But once you go out of body or you go into that next dimension, you can see everything here just as clear. And I'll walk up to people after doing my practices, and I'm totally invisible to them. I'm just out of phase. My frequency is just out of phase from theirs. And they won't even see me, and I'll walk right up to a whole group, and they're looking right at me, and then I'll say something to them, and they all just jump out of their shoes, you know, and scare the crap out of them. And they go, "Where'd you come from?" And I said, "You know, I've been standing here the whole time, you know, for a couple of minutes listening to you guys." You know, it's interesting. It really isn't as hard as people think to go to phase out, to go into the next realm.
It really is, and just to address the issue once again, not to belabor the point much, but this is very important, the event that is taking place coming up here in September, because this is going to, with these gamma rays, facilitate people to do just that. And this is where you'll be able to see the star nations, you'll be able to see the line beings, you'll be able to see the Pleiadians, Andromedans, the Arcturians, you'll be able to see them as clearly as what they see you, because when they come back into this dense form, and I'm going to go into this a little bit at your conference on how we can occupy a body such as the one I have, but we occupy it fleetingly. We occupy it, I must say, at great cost, all right?
Yeah.
So we're in it, and we're out of it. I can't stay in this body all the time. And when you get to that level, you will be in the same situation where you'll be in your body and out of your body. You won't be occupying it all the time.
Yeah. There's something interesting happening. A weird phenomenon. And I know I've been hit by everything you can imagine. I mean, I've even had myself tested, and I have every form of radiation and pharmaceutical and everything else in my body, you know, considering the fact that I haven't even taken any of these things. But and I know it has to do with the chemtrails and the psychotronics and all the other stuff that they're doing, that they can actually send you know, belladonna or some other poison or even snake venom things. They can actually send that through the airwaves etherically and take people out or create heart attacks and all these other things. But haven't experienced most of that, and this body's really taken a toll, you know, especially with some of the nanotechnology that they've sprayed on most of humanity, and we get a little extra dose here. But I still kind of wonder, I've always been able to kind of just recalibrate and heal, and usually very quickly, but this last round, I don't know what's going on, is that in my belief system, I can kind of, you know, disappear, reappear, or reformulate or straighten out my body this last round. I don't know what they've got in it, but I'm not reanimating the way I would like to be. And I'm coming back in my body, and my body's just beaten up, you know, and I'm just going, boy, this is really getting old. You know, this is getting to be ridiculous. And there's some glitch, you know, I'm not sure what it is that's not allowed me to just drop, you know, whatever it is they've been sending out or inserting, you know, into the body. But I know I've been on their hit list for quite some time, so I'm sure they've used every little toy in their arsenal.
Well, to address an issue very briefly, and I know everyone is very familiar with the Venusians and, you know, the stranger at the Pentagon, and in the last segment of that trailer where, you know, they show where he's trying to complete his mission on behalf of the Venusians, and there's a certain segment that is able to tap in and sort of interfere with his frequency level. And of course, you know, we know that Valiant Thor left. All right, but he didn't. He did, but he didn't. And yet he had a very humanoid body, much like yourself, myself, and many others here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we do need to recalibrate, because there are specific forces that, you know, they've had those bases there on Mars, as you know, and they exist. I mean, it's not, oh, we're going to send someone to Mars. We already had someone on Mars. They're there. And, you know, that's sort of a hoax in terms of that they're going to do it. They've already done it. And so, you know, there are certain fragments that have that technology and have, as you say, the nanotechnology have interfered with the recalibrations. And so we just need to step it up to the next frequency level and go past that, because we have that ability. Whatever technology they have, we've got even more. We need to use it, and we can use it. And I'd like to share some of that when I come to the ranch as well.
Yeah, I think that's going to be fun doing the... now you're going to be doing a medicine wheel, like a galactic medicine wheel here?
Absolutely. And it's similar to a crop circle, if you will, that off-planet uses, and it interfaces with the major star nations to open up portals for the actual, call it what you will, you call them orbs. They're not orbs. They're alive. They're alive, cellular, interfacing, living, spiritual energy, and to allow them to be able to come in and anchor here on Earth. So these galactic medicine wheels or crop circles, they're like a beacon out to the other planets.
Mm-hmm.
And they connect the energy of wherever they are, and they just zoom right in.
Well, next time you talk to your Arcturian friends, tell them I need an upgrade.
You got it. I've been working on upgrading myself as well. Not for the sake of being there, but for the sake of being here. In about the last 3 months, I was having a very hard time. I do frequency healing. I work with a couple other healers. And all healers, we all have the energy implants in our wrists and our palms and our knees and so on. You can measure them. And one of my fellow energy healers, if you're listening, I won't mention your name, but you know who you are. Hi. That was wanted to help me. Had one of these things, you know, where you can find out if you've got implants. You know what I'm talking about. And so he found out mine is all my brain is two separate spheres, and mine is all down through my spine and my brain. So he was putting these magnets, these huge magnets. They started coming at me. I said, "Stop!" You know. So because I'm recalibrating now, so I can't do an MRI machine, you know, or any of that. And that has some to do with the whole computer usage. So if I dampen that frequency down, I'm going to explode from the inside out. So if I open so I can't dampen it down much. But in order to be here, I was dampening it down, and it was just about killing me. So that might have been a little bit about what you were doing, James, is in order to work with the people you work with, you've been bringing your frequency down, and you can't do that. But he was shocked when he measured the stuff that was in me. I said, "Get those magnets and stuff away from me." You know, I got, you know, he said, "Oh, let's look at the skull." And I said, "Oh, no, I don't think so." So we're talking about a really high, high frequency level that, yes, it can be measured. So that's where you're at right now, James. That's where I'm at. That's where a lot of us are at.
We've had a lot of scientists come out here and bring their equipment, and then after they left, they're just shocked, you know, because they had all this technology that could measure the shifts of energy in a room, you know, even the light spectrum changes and things like that. And And whenever we would start doing our work, you know, they would just go, oh, my God. You know, and you'd see their faces. You know, they see these big golden vortexes come in and people's bodies pixelate, you know, into light and, you know, all these other things. And it's kind of nice, though, that science is finally catching up and realizing, you know, that there is a lot more, you know, to the universe than what they can put in their test tube.
They are absolutely, and there are some wonderful scientists out there. And I know I will just mention briefly, hi, Dr. Swanson is one of the most wonderful physicists I've encountered that is working with a lot of the research into these energy fields. And I think people need to become aware that the marriage between science and spirituality is finally starting to happen. The scientists are waking up.
I agree. We had a guy here that was in some, well, let's say he was involved with one of the agencies and was sent out here to check us out. And he comes out with all these submarine batteries and all this really high-tech camera gear and everything, just unbelievable arsenal of stuff. And so he's all set up. And he's okay. Nothing can shut this down. You know, I've got backup, triple backup. You know, we have a cord coming out to him to give him the power he needed, you know, with the backup batteries, everything. And this ship comes in, appears, and flies over and just shuts everything off, you know. Not did it shut everything off, it drained batteries to zero.
Oh, my gosh, loving it.
Second, you know, it's like, it's just a little lesson, like, hey, you're not in control. Your technology just is not there yet, you know, so.
It is not there, and I think that those of us that are carrying these higher frequencies, we dampen them down in order to be able to, you know, walk our everyday walk on this earth. Mm-hmm. But now's the time to, you know, let it rip.
Yeah, I agree. It's trying to be your authentic God self and let that come out, you know, or our goddess self or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's definitely, it's, you know, I see too is all this other darkness is actually there to, in a way, to get us moving, you know, to reclaim our power and to stand up for ourselves.
Well, absolutely. And I think that for many of us, and, you know, I can speak personally as well, it was like, oh, what about my family? What about my friends? What about my significant other? Gee, you know, how do I explain all this? And I think that we've all been trying very hard to hang on to these relationships and groups and people. And there is a sadness in the release of some of these old dynamics and the release of family members, the release of institutions and relationships and all of that. And we need to, you know, send them into heart, send them into love. That is so important as we do this release, that we stay in our heart center. If we're not in our heart center and we try to do this release any other way, it isn't going to work. So whatever you release, see it in the light of love. Release them into their higher heart self and do it with love. Do it with love.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely, I've seen over and over where people try to use power to overcome the negative, you know, or aggression to overcome aggression, you know, it just doesn't work. Like, love's the ultimate power, and love heals, and so we have to really allow that love, the love of source, to flow through us into every situation and bring healing to the situation versus, you know, trying to overpower it or dominate it, which is seems to be the old paradigm.
And at the same time, and I think this is a concept that you mentioned, we need to, you know, address real issues. When we talk about love, we have to understand what love is. And love does not mean allowing ourselves to be abused or to be misused or used. And we're not doing ourselves or anyone else a loving favor when we allow those types of behaviors. So, but there's a way, there's a peaceful way to be in our own integrity, to be in our own heart center, to be connected with spirit, divine source, and be loving and be compassionate and be in empathy and kindness, and yet not lie, not to be dishonest about it and say this is okay when it's not okay.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's, I just see over and over again that there's big difference between denial, you know, and love, basically. You know, say so a lot of people will just, you know, say, well, I love them and I'm not going to create any waves, you know. Well, if you really loved them, you'd create some waves.
Well, the unfortunately, sometimes the truth hurts, and speaking your truth in a loving and kind way is very important. And the old saying, when you have to choose between being right and being kind, choose kindness. There's a kind way to go about life.
I agree. I think that is one of the biggest problems right now, is the need to be right, you know, and the spiritual ego that is taking over right now. But eventually I just, you know, I always tell people, you have no idea how powerful it is to be nobody.
Yeah. I've been enjoying being nobody. the labels, I have a very difficult time with creating a bio, because it's like, okay, these are just facts. These don't speak to the essence of who we are. Mm-hmm. And so in speaking to the essence of a soul, what I look for is, are you kind? Do you care? And do you care enough to do the right thing? And do you care enough to do anything? Or will you just sit there and go tisk tisk? So if you care, and if you are kind, and if you truly love, then let's get out of our armchairs and let's do something. I don't care if you plant a garden. I don't care if you go start a water project. I don't care if you go feed the homeless. I don't care if you go and help out a family move. Get away from what will I get out of it. The answer is you may get nothing. You may get nothing. Do not look for money. You may not get paid one red dime. Do not look to be thanked. They may not even like you. It doesn't matter. Get over yourself. I got over myself a long time ago. It doesn't matter. Get past the emotions and feelings. Do something. If you got to go to a soup kitchen and start feeding meals, if you got to go down to an unwed mother's place, if you got to go helping hold babies, if you got to go help clean up in a devastated area, actually get out there and do something. We don't want to talk about it anymore. If you're not doing something actively, then you can say you're working from the heart all you want. You need to get out there and do something. Mm-hmm. And I've held myself to that same standard. But when you do something, you are nobody. You are part of that oneness. Expect no recognition. Don't even look for anyone to know your name.
Yeah, we have a saying here: do something even if it's wrong. You know, like, launch your boat. You know, you can make course corrections later. You know, yeah. We're coming up to the end of the hour here, so I wonder, what's the best way that people can get into contact with you if they want to find out more about, you know, the work that you do and the different places that you'll be speaking?
Okay, they can go to my website, Windstar Galactic Healing. There is a contact there, and I'm traveling and in the process of relocating right now, so I may not always get back to you right away, but I do get back to you, and I will get back to every single person. I will connect.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, we have to put it on the calendar, the October 9th to the 11th. Yeah, if people want to find out more about that, go to privateinvitationeseti.com. And Tashine and I are both going to put on a kind of a self-mastery ambassador training and be doing the galactic medicine wheel. What do you call that?
It's a galactic medicine wheel because it's from the galaxy. It's like a crop circle, actually.
Mm-hmm. And sharing our wisdom and bringing in all of our different Star Nation friends for people to experience. And so, you know, again, Tashina, it's always been awesome connecting with your energy and hanging out. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And I can't wait till October, you know, till we can get up. Really have some fun.
It's been a pleasure, James. I'm so grateful, as always, to connect with you and the work that you do, with people and at the ranch and just everywhere that you've been. I think it's amazing, and I'm really humbled and very grateful. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Well, we're out of time, unfortunately, folks. So this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network, signing off. Have a great evening. You know, remember that. It's all about pure intent, open mind, and a loving heart. That's all you need. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to make this shift. Have a good night.